Allegations of a high-profile cover-up in China.
This Marketplace podcast is brought to you by Gazelle.com. Gazelle buys the used iPhones, iPads, Macs, smartphones, and other gadgets from your home or office, so you can upgrade to the latest versions of your favorite gadgets. Find out what your gadget is worth at Gazelle.com. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There are new details today in a major political scandal in China, the case of Bo Xilai, the once powerful Chinese official who was fired as part of a murder investigation. Now a Chinese journalist has told the BBC that an official cover-up of the murder began immediately after it happened. The BBC's Juliana Liu joins us now from Hong Kong with more. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, take us back to the basics here. Just give us the sort of quick version of what this scandal is all about.
Well, we haven't seen a political scandal this magnitude really in decades in China. One of the country's most powerful men, tipped for a very senior position in the new government, has been fired from all his party posts because it has emerged that his wife is the prime suspect in the murder of a British businessman, Neil Haywood, who died last year. The government isn't being entirely forthcoming with the ongoing investigation. So you can imagine there are a lot of rumors about what's going on. And because he is such a popular figure, there are some people who even believe that there was no murder and that this entire scandal has been cooked up by the Beijing government.
And we certainly love our political scandals over here in this country. But what's at stake in China with this scandal? Why does it really matter?
Well, this man is the son of one of the founding fathers of China, essentially, and he's incredibly powerful. He was the party secretary of Chongqing, which is a city of 30 million people.
Wow.
He revitalized the city of Dalian, based in Washington, D.C., because he loved the layout of Washington, D.C., and he remade a city similar to that. So this is a man that the people have been following for decades. So there's a lot of interest in what will happen to him. And, of course, how this scandal is handled will tell people a lot about the way the Chinese government works.
The BBC's Juliana Liu in Hong Kong. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, here in this country, there has been some not-so-great economic news lately. Corporate earnings are down in many cases, and more people are applying for unemployment benefits. But Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell says, forget all the news from Wall Street and Washington. What we really need to focus on is what's going on in America's middleweight cities. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Chris, when you talk about middleweight cities, what are you talking about?
All right. So these are the 255, 260 cities that have been identified by McKinsey and Company, has come out with this report about urban America, U.S. cities in the global economy. And what's fascinating, Jeremy, is that we know where you live, L.A., mega city, right?
Yep.
Very, very important. And where you used to live, New York. Okay, very
Another
important.
Megacity.
I mean, right. And New Yorkers and people in L.A., they do think that they're the center of the universe. However, when you look at the dynamism in the U.S. economy, it's really these middleweight cities, places like where I live in the Twin Cities here in Minnesota or Portland, Oregon, being another classic example. Almost 85% of U.S. GDP is generated by these middleweight cities compared to about 65% in Europe.
Well, what is so different about these middleweight cities than the big cities?
Partly what these middleweight cities have is a certain dynamism. And, you know, a classic example in my mind is Pittsburgh. I mean, if you think smokestack America, industrial America, I mean, Pittsburgh was the epitome of that and then went to a long-term decline. But today, Pittsburgh is thriving. But it's thriving as an education center, as a healthcare center. It's reinvented itself. So these cities have the ability to reinvent themselves, and that's very dynamic. And remember, our economy is dynamic.
Okay, so they're dynamic places, but you're saying that on the list of our economic concerns that we should have middleweight cities right up at the top?
You know, we talk a lot about the competitiveness of the U.S. economy with the rise of China. Well, here's the thing, Jeremy. We talk about companies. We talk about individuals. Do they have skills? But what we should really be talking about is how healthy are our cities and what can help those cities, because then we'll be really competitive.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower, mixed in some cases across Europe right now, down 0.2% in London, up just slightly in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 68 points to close at 12,964.
This Marketplace podcast is brought to you by Gazelle.com. Gazelle buys the used gadgets from your home or office, such as iPhones, iPads, iPods, Macs, or smartphones, so you can upgrade to the latest versions. At Gazelle.com, see what your used gadget is worth. Then mail it to Gazelle for free. Gazelle pays for the shipping, and you'll get paid fast. Gazelle helps you upgrade to the latest gadgets faster and gives you value for the used gadgets you replace. Find out what your used gadgets are worth at Gazelle.com. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it.
Some athletes can make a lot of money through corporate sponsorships. Some aren't allowed to display ads on themselves. Now, one elite runner wants to change that, as Elizabeth Wynn Johnson reports.
Top-ranked in the 800 meters, Nick Simmons is a favorite for the U.S. Olympic track and field team, and he's become an outspoken critic of sponsorship rules in his sport. So to make a point, Simmons went on eBay and offered to tattoo his left shoulder with the logo of the highest bidder.
Specifically, what I'm talking about is the athletes' abilities to market themselves to companies.
A marketing firm in Milwaukee called Hanson Dodge Creative bid over $11,000. The sport took notice. USA Track and Field spokeswoman Jill Greer.
Nick brought to the general public's attention the overall issue of logo restrictions and usage for athletes.
But
what he did in terms of his eBay auction was to very much oversimplify the issue.
The Adidas and Nikes of the world put a lot of money directly into athletes' pockets by sponsoring meets.
So the fact that there were certain restrictions in place to protect manufacturer logos is simply a recognition of the economic nature of our sport.
As for Nick Simmons, the organizers of his next event have changed their rules, so he'll get to unveil his Hanson Dodge tattoo on Saturday. I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson for Marketplace.
And finally, to some findings that may help you do some finding of your own. Research published in the Quarterly Journal of Experimental Psychology says that if you've lost your car keys or your wallet and you're searching for them, the best thing you can do is say the name of the item you've lost out loud. Just say, car keys, and you'll find them. So let's try this. Ferrari. Ferrari? Nope, nothing yet. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.